Hi, and welcome back to the Women in Sport podcast, the podcast where we discuss the issues which women in sport may be facing and any legal implications to which these might give rise. My name is Emma Bartlett, and I'm joined by our trainee, Mitchell Blythe. We both have a keen interest in law and sport, and I'm really pleased to welcome our brilliant guest today, Dee Bright. Dee is the chair of Spurs Ability, an official supporters club who work closely with the Premier League football team, Tottenham Hotspur, to represent and promote the views of fans with disabilities and implement initiatives to ensure that the game day experience is inclusive. Good morning, Dee.
Good morning, Emma, and good morning, Mitchell. Lovely to be here with you.
Thank you. I'm going to hand over to Mitchell, who's got a little bit that he wants to talk to you about first.
Okay.
Morning. So that's obviously a very brief explanation of what Spurs Ability do. And we will go into that in more detail in just a moment. I wanted to begin first by asking about your early memories of sport and how you were first introduced to football.
Oh, gosh. Well, my early memories of sport were fairly broad. I used to sit with my dad and watch horse racing and snooker and football. I grew up around Wimbledon and used to catch the bus up to Plough Lane and go and watch Wimbledon at the time the Crazy Gang played, which was absolutely brilliant. It was so entertaining at the time. I know they had quite a reputation. And I grew up loving horse racing, and I went to the Northern Racing School and did an apprenticeship up in Doncaster, and then worked extensively in horse racing in my formative years.
That's it's really interesting. Really exciting when you got to watch the likes of Vinnie Jones playing then back in the
Oh yes.
day.
Oh yes, watching Vinnie Jones live was quite something.
And then did you not follow them up to Milton Keynes, who's having Wimbledon
No,
have now
no.
moved up, but yeah, quite
No.
controversially.
As far as I was concerned, the football team that I'd grown up with no longer existed. And at the time, Tottenham were playing some really beautiful football, some really entertaining football. And I just felt myself drifting more over there, that they had the likes of Gazza and Lineker and then Ginola. And there was just some wonderful performances on the pitch, and it was always entertaining to watch. They always played at pace, and there was always something spectacular to watch. It wasn't but a boring game. And it was something that I just fell in love with and kept going back.
Yes, that brings us on to obviously the talk about Tottenham Hotspur, and now you're heavily involved with the club. Can you explain to us a little bit about the work that you do with Spurs Ability, and possibly also how you became involved?
Spurs Ability is fairly recent. I think it's only in the last 7 or 8 years that it was set up. And it is a direct association with the club, for disabled supporters, run by disabled supporters. Although we're affiliated with the club, they don't run the group, and it is purely voluntary. So we have a small committee of people who volunteer quite a lot of time to try and improve things for disabled supporters. And we look at all areas that that might affect people, including transport, which is always a very gnarly subject, especially for wheelchair users. Transport in and around London can be quite precarious. If lifts go down at a station, it can make the difference between attending a match and not attending a match. So we spend a lot of time working, making sure that people understand what transport is working. We work a lot alongside the club to give ideas and so on for things that might make match going a lot easier for people. And it's also the understanding that not all disabled people are wheelchair users, which is the predominant thought process for a lot of people. That when you walk around the stadium, although it is completely accessible and wheelchair friendly, it's bringing into thought how a blind person or a deaf person or somebody who's neurodivergent might access the stadium and might interpret a game. And Spurs have been really good. They built the stadium to be accessible. And they've been very proactive in listening and taking up suggestions where we've given them, which has been really heartening. When I look at situations with my peers in other clubs and how a lot of other clubs don't necessarily take on board the experiences of disabled customers, it is heartening that we're listened to. And in a lot of cases, actions are taken. But I think from a lot of supporters' situation, they don't understand how long it takes to make something happen. For example, we had seating put in the concourses for people who were walking disabled people who may need to take rests, who might not be as able as everyone else. But to put in that seating, we needed fire safety certificates. We needed to have a full survey of the building to make sure that they met current planning and potential future planning. And it took a very long time, but it was so very worth doing.
It's a really interesting role, and it's a really important role. And how exactly did you come about taking up position within disability?
A few years ago, my son, who has Down syndrome and is also severely visually impaired, he became more and more involved in football and became a very strong supporter of Spurs. And he was showing signs that it was time that he wanted to go along and see them in person. So initially, I started off contacting the access team to talk about his needs and how we might actually get him to a match, which in itself is quite a job. There's a lot of pre-planning that goes into just taking him out. So they helped us an awful lot and put me in touch with Spurs Ability. And by talking with them, I was invited to take a post on the committee as I was working in the disability sector. It seemed like a really good opportunity to help things along. At the time, we were temporarily at Wembley Stadium. We didn't have our stadium. So it was a really nice opportunity to start working alongside the club to help bring on board different voices and different opinions and different viewpoints.
It's so interesting that the club is so involved in disabled supporters, particularly through consulting and developing its accessibility strategy and plan. Have you come across this service user-led strategy before? I think often in employment situations, I don't think it's much taken into account. I think it's normally led from within rather than taking it into account. As you say, you're busting myths about what a disabled person is and what their needs might be.
The short answer is no. I've been incredibly impressed with the level of attention to detail that has been put in place at the new stadium, even down to the point of purpose-built sensory room going in so that neurodivergent young people can actually experience a game but have a safe and quiet place to sit and watch or walk out and go to take a seat in the actual stadium arena. It's very, very heartening. I was so pleased to be part of the first British Sign Language broadcast going out. Now we have interviews pre-match and half-time, quite often with legends of the game and people of interest. And being an arena, it's very loud, it's very echoey, you can't always hear. And obviously, people with a hearing impairment would not be able to access what's going on the pitch. And we now have a British Sign Language interpreter on the big screens at every single match, interpreting all of the interviews and everything that's going on.
It sounds really first class. I'm
That's amazing.
really interested to hear more about the sensory room because attending a football match, let alone at one of the big stadiums like Spurs, is so overwhelming in all respects. There's so many people, there's noise, there's different alleys to navigate. You're trying to find the toilets, the drinks. Tell us more about this sensory room.
The sensory room, it was actually purpose-built. It wasn't an afterthought, which is something that I absolutely love. It was very much at the heart of the planning. You can pre-book it if you have a young person or yourself have sensory needs. You can pre-book the sensory room. There's a huge waiting list for it, which you can imagine. And there's two rooms in it. There's a small, quiet room at the back, which is darker, and it has bubble tubes and calming lights and various things. And then there's the room at the front, which faces into the bowl, so you can watch the match. But that also has seats and a TV screen, so you can watch the match without actually having to go outside. It has blinds that come down, so if it gets a little bit too much, they can pull the blinds down. And then you can, the door pretty much leads directly outside so that you can take seats without having to run into too many people. And the concession stall for food and drink is pretty much directly outside as well. It has been incredibly well thought out, and it's incredibly popular.
I can imagine. Actively seeking honest feedback from the users, from the fans, has no doubt helped. I think Mitchell's got a question for you about different services.
Yeah, I was wondering if you could give us an example of some of the different inclusive services and initiatives that are available. I know you've touched on a few already, but I was wondering if there are any others of highlight.
Okay, so from the bottom up, we have four accessible entrances that are completely wheelchair friendly. There's lifts that take you to every floor from those entrances, so there is no steps required for anyone. There are spending areas for guide dogs. So if you happen to use a guide dog to get around, there are seating areas and rest areas for the guide dogs. We have audio description at every match. We have our own broadcast service where we have specialist describers, and you pick up a headset as you walk in, take it to your seat, and you can listen to the match. And it's somewhat different to the audio that you would get on the radio, whereby they're describing the actual pitch and where each player is on the pitch and what is happening in the sectors of the pitch. It's a lot more in depth. We are hoping, and this is big fingers crossed, that that's going to be rolled out onto the app so that anyone who is visually impaired anywhere in the world can pick it up. That is massive. I mean, imagine a Tottenham fan in the middle of Australia who happens to be blind. They can experience the match the same way as the Tottenham fan who is sat in the stadium. I think that's incredible. What else? There's hearing loops at all of the concession stalls. The BSL I've hit upon, the rest seats for ambulant people. And of course, there's the access team, who are a dedicated core of people who work with the disabled customers and take on board everyone's needs and try their best to fulfill them when you go to the stadium. Even down to people who've broken their leg or have a temporary impairment, we have broken leg seats. So people quite often phone me up and say, I'm not disabled, but is there anything we can do? Because my seat is right at the back of the south stand and I have lots of steps to climb and I can't. And the answer is yes, we do have seats. We have non-step seats. We have some seats that need two or three stairs to get to, but pretty much most people's needs are catered for. Oh, and changing places, Luz. I don't know if you're aware of changing places. It's not just the disabled loos. It is a room where there is a hoist and a bed and a shower for people who really cannot stand and need a lot more care to help them change. And we have two in the stadium and one in the shop.
That's
Most
so impressive.
towns have one.
That's amazing. It really is. Just going through that list makes you realize how good operation really is going on there. And as it's a brand new state-of-the-art stadium, obviously only fairly recently finished, in comparison to the stadium, you're holding a variety of events there now, from the NFL concerts. I'm going myself to the Saracens versus Harlequins game in March there, which
Oh,
I'm really
you're going to
looking
love
forward
it.
to. I'm really looking forward to it. I've been to the stadium once to watch a pre-season Tottenham versus Arsenal game a few years ago. But I was wondering if these initiatives have been rolled out across all of the events.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Even down to sign language during concerts. At the Beyonce concerts, people who needed a bit of sign language were given an iPad type device where they could watch a sign language interpreter interpret the concert. It is fully operational as far as disability is concerned, and they constantly are looking to improve. It's not always easy, but they are constantly looking for the next thing to stay in front of the game. They want to be the leaders. They want to be pioneering the way for everyone else and showing what is actually possible.
Do you think the level of accessibility and the thought that go, clearly there's so much thought that's gone into this and consultation, but do you think that increases the players, the managers, the club engagement in considering the needs of disabled supporters? For example, does it make the club itself, the people that are in the club, more inclusive and welcoming?
I would like to think so. We don't have an awful lot to do with the playing side of things. There's two very distinct sections. You know, there's the business, corporate area, and the running of the stadium, and then the players are over at Hotspur Way with training. But they're certainly engaged, and we were very lucky at Christmas that one of the players did a Zoom call with us and actually got to know us a little bit better. And the manager is certainly very aware. He's a breath of fresh air,
He
our
really
current
is. He seems
manager.
like such a nice person in all his interviews. Comes across really well.
It was actually very surprising and heartening. I was picked out of a hat with my son to go and watch an interview with him and a panel of guests. And Owen kept putting his hand up to ask a question, and he kept being avoided by the interviewer. And they were wrapping up, and Ange stopped the proceedings, pointed to my son, and said, "No, he's got a question."
Fantastic.
I
I
think
think
I
I read about that actually. I think there might have been an article done on that I read about. I didn't realize that was just how.
it went very viral.
I
It
remember
was
that,
huge in Australia,
yeah.
and poor Owen. Because he'd thought that everything was stopping, his shoulders had slumped and he'd gone into almost meltdown. And then suddenly he was passed a microphone and he just completely lost his words. And but it was really lovely, and he got to meet Ange afterwards and gave him a massive hug. And
That's
there
fun.
just seems to be a lovely feeling when you walk around the staff. Are very warm and they're very well trained. The training that goes on in the background is really good. I think a lot of the staff actually get to learn the differences between the medical and the social versions of disability and how the actual club are taking on board and wanting to embrace the social version of a disability.
Well, I think that's really exemplifies the difference between diversity, having diversity in your organization, and inclusion, making people feel like they belong there.
Yeah.
And you've given some great examples of how that can be demonstrated. This is, of course, Women in Sport podcast, and Dee, you're driving the disability inclusion agenda from the front as a woman. But I know you had some experience you mentioned earlier that you had a keen interest in horse racing as well. Can you
Yes.
tell us a little bit about that? Because that's an industry which the spotlight will continue to be on for a while. But how was that?
When I grew up, I very much wanted to follow in my granddad's footsteps. He worked in racing, he was a jockey, and I very much wanted to do the same thing. And I went and did an apprenticeship at the Northern Racing School and then started off my life working around various yards. And in those days, there was no internet to actually find out people's phone numbers. I went through, had great big yellow pages and
Thank
photocopied the pages of all different racing yards so I could phone up and try and get a job. And while I was looking for a job, I phoned up a very prestigious yard. It was one of the big ones at the time, and asked if they had any apprentice roles. And they said, "It sounds like you're a girl." I said, "Yes, that's right. We don't employ girls." And hung up on me. And that door was slammed in so many different ways. I was told very early on that I would never get to be a jockey unless I was an owner's daughter or happened to be nice to the right people, which was never my intention.
Wow.
Yes.
I would hope that since then there's been some a shift in inclusion in that type of sport as well. We've obviously got some big female commentators on horse racing now,
I
as
hope
well. Yeah.
it, at the time, you knew that there was very much a ceiling in place and it wasn't a glass one.
Yeah. A lot has changed since that time, particularly in women in football as well. We've and rugby and other types of sports as well, and that is something which is growing. And certainly from your experience, I mean, when we think of Spurs and obviously as the manager of the men's team at Tottenham, but the women's
We
Tottenham
have a
team is doing not too
fantastic.
bad either.
Oh, yes. We have a fantastic manager for the women's team in Roberts. And the women's team are doing so well. The players are fantastic. They're going from strength to strength, considering how quickly they've gone through all the leagues and made it up to the Women's Super League.
Yeah.
And I think women's football is in itself one of the biggest growth sports currently.
Yeah.
The World Cup certainly did us no harm.
Definitely.
I think we've covered everything in terms of what I wanted to ask about the Spurs ability side. Just one final question for me is, have you ever done and do you plan to do the skywalk at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium?
I'm terrified of heights. I am absolutely terrified. And I know at some point Owen is going to ask to do it. And I'm going to be going around it with my eyes closed.
See,
Yeah.
I will come and do it with you.
Really?
Yeah, I will. I went to the Spurs Stadium with my boys not so long ago, and they were much of the same. They're a little bit scared of heights. Oh, do we really need to see the stadium from that angle? I'm really delighted to do it. If you want to do it, I'll come
There you
and
go.
help. Well, I would definitely recommend doing the stadium tour, which is accessible. The stories that you hear in the players' dressing room are a lot of fun, very amusing. And occasionally you get to meet one or two of the legends of the game who quite often knock around. And we're very lucky with Spurs' ability that one of the legends has agreed to be our ambassador. That's Gary Mabert.
Wow, fantastic.
He's absolutely wonderful, and himself has fought type 1 diabetes throughout his career. And
Wow,
so
to play at that level
yeah,
with type 1 diabetes.
so he's inspirational in himself. I think at present he said he is having 7 injections a day, so he's
Yeah.
waking up day and night to inject and to monitor his condition. And apart from being a fantastic player, he's probably one of the nicest guys in sport.
That's lovely to hear. Dee, thank you so much for sharing your story and for explaining the fantastic inclusion work that Spurs are doing at the stadium, the fantastic new stadium. There are huge parallels and learning points to be drawn from this for all employers. And I hope that this helps in some way. Dee, is there anything else before we close that you would like to add or you think might be relevant to what we've been talking about just now?
In everything, disability doesn't discriminate. It can happen to anyone at any time of life, and it doesn't matter who you are, what your walk of life is. At some point, you may find yourself needing accessibility. And if you're in the position to promote that and put that into your place of work, please do it.
Thank you, Dee. That's a really powerful message and absolutely true. And I hope that having thought about all the different types of needs that disabled people require, that Tottenham will go on to continue being creative in how they can support people, whoever they are.
I know that they will be. Having spoken to some of the board, they are very much of a mindset to be the leaders.
Well, that's interesting. I do find with any diversity and inclusion initiatives, having that support from the top is so important in being able to get anything done and being able to show people within the organisation that this means something, that this is something that we're going to do.
There should be no barriers to enjoying sports, any sport.
Thank you, Dee. Thanks,
Thank you
Mitchell.
very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. There are more episodes and podcasts and resources on our website, www.cm-murray.com.